the Senate floor, and we would like to proceed with the bill as it is. I think that we have already given up enough with public accommodations. The federal law being considered regarding this issue is for employment.
That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Looks like we've got more questions here.
I would like my, it's up to you, but I like the witnesses.
I know everybody has questions. We're going to just wait for the next set of the panel so that at least we can get this next set in, and then we could open it up to questions, because you're going to run out of time very shortly.
I don't want to run out of time.
I don't want you to either.
However, the committee wants to do it, but they did come to speak, but I do want your questions too.
I bet you can't have both, though.
Well, let's compromise, right? Like I did in this field. If we could compromise. I'm amenable. I'm flexible. So let's hear the next one and then open it up for questions.
Let's do panel number two. Kathy Sharp.
Thank you so much, Madam Chairwoman. Kathy Sharp?
Shafe?
Coming.
I'm sorry.
I'm just short. I'm easy to get overlooked.
I know.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine.
Okay.
Catherine Shafe.
I get you.
I am an associate dean and a professor of biology at American University in Washington, D.C. I'm also the mother of Aiden Rivera Shafe, a transgender teen who last April committed suicide as a consequence of the despair and hardships associated with being a transgendered youth in the Bethesda Chevy Chase area. Aiden started in life as Caitlin. It was actually Caitlin, Patricia, Jennifer, Anastasia. There were a lot of people invested in his birth. He was a very kind, generous, inventive, creative, loyal, wonderful child. The type of child who approaches life with open arms and an open heart. About the age of 14, Aiden started revealing to us this notion that he had, that he was actually a boy and, in fact, a straight man in the wrong body. I had not had a lot of exposure to or awareness of information about the transgender community, and I have to say that I found the process quite challenging. I felt that if I supported him in what he was telling me was important and how things were for him, that I was being too permissive and I was encouraging him down a path that would lead to hardship and possibly physical harm. On the other hand, I felt that if I did not support him, that I was being despotic and was potentially harming his overall well-being and his ability to persist through life as a successful, happy individual. So it was a very difficult thing to do as someone who was a very passionate, caring, attentive parent. While Aiden was going through this transition, one of the things he said to me was that the reason why I was having a hard time was because he was ruining our perfect family. I think that one of the important points to take from this is that Aiden, who had been the apple of every adult that he ever met's eye, who had been adored and sought out after and praised as a child, had been learning that suddenly, because of this awareness in himself and his acknowledgement of an awareness, that he was now being hated and rebuked by the same people. And that was very hard for him. He couldn't quite figure out how to deal with that, and part of the way he internalized that was he felt that that his error was that he wasn't being a proper boy, and that if he could just fix his body to be the boy that he was, that somehow this would make people no longer distrust him or hate him or make life very, very unpleasant for him. Someone who had been very lucky enough, very blessed, to have had a life where that was not part of his initial experience. One of the things I want you to know in terms of Aiden's transition through to becoming aware of himself as a transgender person is that he didn't somehow become a monster or someone horrible. As he said to me once when I was struggling, he said, "You know, Mommy, I'm just me. I'm me, I'm Aiden. You don't need to understand it, you just have to know I'm me." And I think that's one of the challenges for us. I don't understand it, but all I need to know is that these are people who are wonderful, talented people. They're grumpy and they're annoying like everybody else. I had a teenager who was 18. I can attest to this. That the point is that they are people who are worthy of respect like everyone else is worthy of respect. My son, who was busy having all his friends bursting at the seams to run out and be independent, opined that he was going to live in my basement for the rest of his life because he didn't feel safe being anywhere else. When he was looking for work, he desperately wanted money to take his girlfriends out, and I refused to pay. He wanted to get a job, and finally, after a lot of looking, he found a job in a hair salon. Last February's snowstorm resulted in them laying off a bunch of people. People couldn't get their haircuts. And the process of trying to find a new job took him down. It was so very hard for him. You know, his social security number, it says Caitlin. His medical health thing said Caitlin. He constantly had to out himself and then face the discrimination that came back again and again and again. He was even harassed by police officers when he was in the process. He's a very fey little girl, you know. He just, saying he was a boy really didn't change the fact that he still looked like a girl in boys' clothing as he started his process. And the police would harass him because they'd say, you know, like, what's your deal? Why? What's up? You know, and being transgender was not an acceptable answer. My son took his life last April, and a couple of days before he did so, we were interacting, and he was weeping and railing against life because he felt like he had tried everything. We had changed his name legally, he had taken hormones. He couldn't go back to school. He had dropped out of school after being on the principal's honors for excellence in for his ability in school because he couldn't stand the harassment and the meanness and the cruelty that faced him there. He couldn't find a job. He didn't feel like he could go out and be brave and find a housing for himself. And he just didn't know how to go forward with it. We cannot help the people who've gone. And unfortunately, there's been far too many people who've gone. But we can help the people who are there now and the ones that are going to come along. And that's what I ask very passionately that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.